where it comes.
Rather than focus on a particular shaila, so I thought we'd just learn a sugya a little bit tonight, coming up in the end of the Yoma. That's the sugya of Simchas Yontif and Simchas Purim, how the two relate to one another, some of the similarities, some of the differences between them. So the very existence of these two mitzvahs, we first have to find the sources for where this comes from. So if we take a look at the first of the Mamakomos, so the Mishnah tells us in Masechus Sukkah, Daf Mem Ches, Halal v'Simchas Shmona, that the mitzvah of Halal and the mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif, obviously the Mishnah is talking about the Yontif of Sukkot. So for the duration of all 8 days, the reason why the Mishnah spells this out is because some of the other mitzvahs hayom of Sukkah do not apply to the entire week. Let's say, for example, the mitzvah of lulav, some of the Torah lulav is only the first day, and the mikdash is the rest of the week min haTorah. We have other mitzvahs that are not necessarily every day of Sukkot. So here the Mishnah says that Halal and Simcha are not only all 7 days of Sukkot, even including the 8 day of Shmini Atzeres. So Keita, what does this mean? Malam mitzchayibad b'halav b'simcha v'kovid yom t'v'achron shachak yishak yimasachag. There's no difference in terms of the mitzvah of Halal, in terms of the mitzvah of Simcha, on the last day of Sukkot, i.e. Shmini Atzeres, as the same as the rest of the week. So clearly there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif. Comes the Sechel HaMarmer Komus, the Gemara Masechet is the Gilt of Zion Rebeis, Amar Rava, Sudas Purim She'ochla Balayla Yotzeh Dechavaso. If a person eats a Purim Suda at night, here it's referring to the night before, the night of Leil Yedalit, one does not fulfill one's obligation, my time, you may mishtav a simcha ksiv, because the Megillah refers to the days of Purim as Yimei Simcha, Yimei Mishtav a Simcha. So Yomim, Yabim Blo Leilos, that you have to fulfill the mitzvah, Mishtav a Simcha, Tavk in the daytime. So we have two sugyas, two statements of Chazal that speak about the mitzvah of Simcha. One, the mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov, which is of course a throwback to the Pasuk, the Samach to the Chagecha. The other is the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, which is a throwback to the Pasuk of Yimei Mishtav a Simcha. And it would lead us to believe that there are probably certain similarities between the two. So the truth is that the original mitzvah, the mitzvah of Sukkot Yontif itself, is a major machlokes in the Rishonim, just what exactly that mitzvah even means. What am I supposed to do? The Mishnah just is very vague. The Mishnah says that the person is chayv and simcha the whole week. What does that mean? How does that express itself? So the Gemara speaks about the primary way of expressing simcha is coming to the Beis HaMikdash and offering karbanos. There are special karbanos, shalmei simcha, that are supposed to be offered on each of the Yom Tovim. And that's the basic way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Simchas Yomtiv. If that's what Simchas Yomtiv is, then obviously that's not going to play out in terms of Purim. If Purim, even Bizman Shem Beis Mikdash HaKayim, through the days of Ba'asheni, there was nothing special in the Beis Mikdash on Purim. There were no special karbanos. Purim was only Midrabanan. So obviously the mitzvah of shalmei simcha, lila regel, that we associate with the Sholosh Regalim, clearly is not going to be relevant in terms of Purim. But nevertheless, there is a second aspect of Simchas Yontif that is a little bit more connected to Purim. That's what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim. What if you live in a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash? So how do you celebrate Yontif in a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that you have what's called Shar Semachos. You have Yayin, according to the Rambam's understanding. You have Bosa V'Yayin. So the Gemara speaks about some very real practical things that play out on Yontif, even Bisman Hazeh. So that already we can begin to discuss carrying that over to Purim. The Simchas HaKavanos obviously makes no sense on Purim, but when we call Shar Tzmachos, the Bosh of the Yayin, Sudas, things of that nature, that can make a lot of sense concerning Purim. The Rizim Achlekes have shown him about what exactly the Kavanos of Torah is. When the Torah says the Samach Tzmachagecha, is the Torah referring only to Simchas HaKavanos, and all the secondary Simchas that we just mentioned, Shar Tzmachos, are only meant to Rabbanon, that's the view of Tos, the Maseches Moikoton, or do we say no? That Shar Tzmachos are also Midarais, that's the view of the Rambam. So no matter how you slice it, there is such a thing called Shar Tzmachos, there is notions of other kinds of celebrations, Chutzla Mikdosh, which clearly play a role on Yontif. The Zman Hazeh, that's the only Simcha that we have on Yontif. And it's that second level of Simcha that does apply to Purim. And it's not surprising that the similarity between the way we celebrate Yontif, Zman Hazeh, Chutzla Mikdosh, and the way Purim is celebrated is almost identical in terms of simcha. There are obviously differences in terms of halacha, but in terms of simcha, almost identical. The two items that we most closely associate Simchas Yontif with are Basar v'Yayin. The Gemara speaks explicitly about Yayin, and the Rambam adds on Basar as well. And it's not surprising that both of those aspects of Basar v'Yayin that we find so closely identified with Yontif celebration is the same for the Purim celebration as well. That's where when the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah describes what a Sudas Purim is supposed to be, so the Rambam describes it as being Ochel Basar v'Shes Yayin. It's interesting, the Rambam doesn't even mention washing, doesn't even mention having challah. The Rambam, when he talks about simcha, only focuses on those two things, basa v'yayin. So again, we clearly identified there's a mitzvah of simchas yontif, and we clearly identified there's a mitzvah of simchas purim. We saw that there should be certain similarities between them. So we started off by saying that simchas yontif has the notion of simchas hamikdash, which clearly is not relevant to purim. But that second part of simchas yontif, shatzimachos, that does make sense in the context of purim. So adkat in terms of the similarities, but where do some of the differences begin to kick in? So if we take a look at the third of the Ma'amar Kamos, so the Mishnah Maseches Mo'ekotan speaks about the following: a nosim nashim b'moed. One is not permitted to get married on moed. Here it's talking about chol moed. Yom Tov for sure, not allowed to get married, but even on chol moed, one is not allowed to get married. Lo besulos, lo amonos. That it doesn't matter whether you're marrying a woman who's getting married for the first time, whether you're marrying a woman who's already been married, the widow. Lo miyabnim. You're not even allowed to do yibum if one's brother died and then he takes the wife to be his wife. So that's considered to be also a form of marriage, but having the Maisa Yibum, they become married to one another. So all those kinds of activities are off limits on Yontif, including Chol HaMoed. Why is that? So the Mishnah says something very strange. Because those are very joyful experiences. One's getting married, it's a big simcha. And therefore, one should not do that on Yontif, which of course presents a question, why shouldn't one do that on Yontif? One would think that would be the greatest thing to do on Yontif. You're supposed to be happy on Yontif, so why don't you get married? But that's not my kasha, that's the Gemara's kasha. So if you skip down to the Gemara for a moment, two lines from the bottom of the Ma'amar Makom, v'chisimcha yilo mayhavei. So what if the simcha? Great. That's even more of a reason to do it on Yontif. Amar Rav Mashmua, v'chein amar v'lazam, v'oshia, v'amar l'amar v'lazam, v'chanina, v'she'ei ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. That even though it's a simcha, or perhaps not even though, but dafka because it's a great simcha to get married, therefore one does not get married on Yontif because of the violation of the principle of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Gemara then goes on to discuss different sources for this idea of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. It would appear from all the sources that this is a really a Din Min HaTorah, that one is not allowed to get married on Yontif Mid Araisa. The Gemara at one point quotes a different Rosh V'Samach M'Chagech V'Lo B'Ishtecha, a similar type of a notion, and therefore getting married on Yontif, getting married on Chol HaMoed is off limits. The Yisur of getting... Well, we're going to talk about it as it relates to Yom Tov, and then in contrast to Purim. That's what we're going to try to discuss a little bit. The fact that one cannot get married on Yom Tov proper, that's a whole different other reason. Those are additional reasons with the Rabbanan. You're not allowed to do any kind of business transactions on Yom Tov. Well, the fact that you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos, that's other problems with the Rabbanan, because we're afraid it's business, and you can write the ksuba, etc., different concerns. But the issue of getting married, min haTorah, is limited to Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, as a clear-cut violation of this issur called Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So when it comes to the extension of this principle, Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, to Purim, one would have expected, we should have found certain similarity. We should have said that just as we started off the Shia by saying, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, v'samach mechayecha. There's a mitzvah of Simchas Purim, yimei mishti v'simcha. Just as there's a chiyav of basa v'yayin on Yontif, the Rambam writes in the Chos Purim, there's a chiyav of basa v'yayin. So we should have connected the dots and said, just as you're not allowed to get married on Yontif, so too it should be also to get married on Purim. So we don't find that. If you take a look at the fourth of the Ma'amar Kamos, we actually find the opposite of that. The second paragraph, Sif Ches, where the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mutalisa Isha B'Purim, that one is permitted to get married on Purim. There are Moses Bein B'Yadal Bein B'Tezvav, doesn't matter which day of Purim it is. The Kol Shkei Shabutalas is Pinjam Ben. Other kinds of celebrations, lower level celebrations, for sure you're allowed to do on Purim. But basically, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the Mutal Lisa Isha B'Purim. So this statement of the Shulchan Aruch is not agreed upon by everybody. There are some Acharonim who question it. And those Acharonim are very understandable. Some Acharonim say, how could that be? And we're equating Simchas Purim to Simchas Yontif. This is Basa, this is Basa, this is Yayin, this is Yayin, this is Simcha, this is Simcha. Just as Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha kicks in on Yontif, it should kick in similarly on Purim. So what's Pshat the Shulchan Aruch? How come the Shulchan Aruch permits one to get married on Purim? So the Chora, what this din in the Shulchan Aruch seems to be pointing in the direction is that there is a fundamental difference between Simchas Purim and Simchas Yontif, and it's that difference that is the contributing factor as to why the Yontif and Purim part ways in terms of getting married. One could raise the following question about the very essence of this idea, this notion of the idea of Simcha. There are certain days on the calendar where we are obligated to be with Simcha. So what exactly does that mean? So we started off the Shia by saying that when we have Simchas Yontif, so there are very specific activities that we have to engage in on Yontif. Bezman Shabbos Mikdash HaEkayim, we have to go Alila Regel, we have to offer Karbonos, we have to partake of the meat of the Karbonos. Zman Hazeh. So the Rambam says you have to have Basar B'Yayin. The Shulchan Aruch says at least you have to have Yayin. Maybe according to some Asuda. Whatever your definition of Simcha is, there's a very, very real Maisa Simcha of Yom Tov. So maybe one can argue that's all it is. That's the mitzvah, Simcha's Yom Tov. The mitzvah is for a person to simply go through the motions, to go through some kind of a Maisa Simcha. We would hope that it cheers him up a little bit. We would hope that he's enjoying the Basar B'Yayin. That's obviously the goal. But basically, the mitzvah is limited to it. It's a certain Maisa mitzvah. The Maisa mitzvah is not all that different from other Maisa mitzvahs that we have. There's a mitzvah to eat a kizayis and matzah. There's a mitzvah to shake a loom. There's a mitzvah to eat a shofar. A mitzvah to eat a sukkah. There's a mitzvah to do for some achta b'chagecha. Hidni mucham zuman. I do my Basar B'Yayin. I do my aliyah regem, my kavanos, whatever it is. And achmin yaitse, and that's it. So the Rambam, and I should have put it on the comments, the Rambam writes when he quotes the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So the Rambam talks about that, about the Maisa mitzvah. And then the Rambam writes in a more general statement, the Chayav Adam Liyo Samech V'Tov Lei B'Yom Tov. That a person is obligated to be in a good mood, in a cheery mood on Yom Tov. When exactly is that mitzvah supposed to take place? So this is like this all take with the Chassidim and the Misnag in part way. So what does that mean? There's a mitzvah to be Chayav Adam Liyo Samech V'Tov Lei B'Yom Tov. So what's the shear of Samech V'Tov Lei? What's the zman? Those are mitzvahs that those are klal that usually ask. But I tell you, you have to eat matzah. So I discuss how much matzah do you have to eat? When do you have to eat the matzah? Or I tell you, you have to blow shofar. When do you have to blow shofar? How many kolos do you have to hear? So when we speak about the mitzvah of chayav adam liyos samech v'tov lev, so is there a zman? Is there a shir? Have to smile this wide? Have to tell this many jokes? What exactly does it mean? So clearly, this mitzvah of chayav adam liyos samech v'tov lev is not a ma'aseh mitzvah. The ma'aseh mitzvah I had, my boss, my yain, aliyah l'regel, whatever I did, I did. There's a different aspect here. There's a totally different dimension of Yom Tov that's being the halacha is focusing on. That Yom Tov is a zman simcha. It's not pshat, if you want to really break it down to lumdus terminologies, it's not just that the gavra is mechuyif to be mesameach. The gavra is mechuyif to do a ma'aseh simcha bas v'yayim, but the Yom Tov is chalon and a shame yayim simcha. And the whole day, the beginning from the moment Yom Tov begins to the moment Yom Tov ends, it's supposed to be a happy time, a cheerful time. And therefore, it's expected for a person to be in a good mood. A person should have to do whatever they can. And if a person finds themselves getting upset on Yom Tov, you have to stop themselves and say, that's a bittul of this mitzvah that the Yom Tov is supposed to be in a state of a zman simcha. That idea that Yom Tov is supposed to be a time of the Yom Tov itself is a zman simcha. So the question becomes, does that carry over to Purim or not? So when it came to Yom Tov, we found there are almost two different dimensions of Yom Tov. There's the simplest Yom Tov of the Maisa Mitzvah, Basar V'Yayin, Aliyah L'Regel, Shlomim, etc. And then there's the Zman, Teifeis, Zman itself, is labeled as the Zman of Simcha. Do we have any precedent in Uchus Purim for that second dimension? And the answer is not really. The Pasuk says, La'Soysa Sam Yemei Mishneh V'Simcha. So the Pasuk in the Megillah says what you have to do. I have to have a little bit of mishneh, I have a little bit of wine, I have to have very little, I have to have my yemei mishneh v'simcha, I have to have my little bit of simcha, and I'm yaitzeh. So when a person gets his family together at 4:30 in the afternoon and says, now it's time for our Purim Suda. So at 4:30 in the afternoon, we're going to do the ma'isa mitzvah of la'sosos of yemei mishneh v'simcha. Conceptually, not all that different than we did at 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning, we did the mitzvah of Ayom El Niskor V'Nachim, we read the Megillah. 9 o'clock in the morning, we gave a Shalach Mos. 10 o'clock in the morning, we distributed Matalas Avyonim. At 4:30, we're doing Yibay Mishnah V'Simcha. And that's it. What happens in the time in the middle? Do whatever you want. You want to masquerade, you want to take a nap, you want to sit and learn, you want to be miserable, because okay, you want to be miserable in your own. It doesn't make a difference. There's no issue of being upset on Purim. There's no din of Chayv Adam Liyos Semechot. Not a good idea. One should never be upset. That's all beautiful and wonderful. But in terms of halachically requiring that a person be the simcha to leave of the entire day of Purim, we don't find such an obligation. There's a ma'isa mitzvah, the chayves ma'isa mitzvah, and it's not something that permeates the very essence of the entire character of the day.
Just like you said by the Rambam, he said there's a ma'isa mitzvah, and the yosameya. Anybody want to say that?
Well, okay, one could have. Okay, it could be. One could have argued with what I'm saying. It's possible. But the reason why I'm saying this is to set the stage to understand why the Shulchan Aruch is differentiating vis a vis the issue of getting down.
It is.
Okay.
In terms of your thought, it's why can we say that everything that is being done is about the. Your rights level as a guidelines to make sure that we get to that, right? And then on Purim, being that it's a Dharavana, right, the fact that you have a Tasana or anything like that, that won't trump, right, won't trump in another simple one. You relate it back to it.
Well, it's true. 100% right. That Simchas Yontif is a Deraisa and Siri. At least it's not a Mikdash. It's not as Zaz and Machalik Zivishonim. And Simchas Yontif clearly is a Simchas Purim. So that's clearly only Midravon or Dibre Kabbalah. It's clearly not a real Deraisa. That's true. But the question is, should we take the attitude, almost like Dr. Fisher is saying, that called the Tikkun Rabbanim came Deraisa Tikkun? I think that's ultimately what's driving Dr. Fisher's argument, that we have a model of Simchas Yontif Deraisa. When Chazal instituted Lasos or something with Mishnah Simcha, they were clearly looking at the Yontif model. If they were looking at the other model, then it makes a lot of sense that let's institute Basar, V'yayin, today should be a Yom Simcha. Let's institute the exact same thing when it comes to Purim. So it's almost a Motzach Levarai. I have to prove to you why I'm not going down that model. So Josh is suggesting I'm not going down that model because this is Deraisa, this is Derabbanan. So we're going to try to touch it up a little bit. We'll try to find out the details as to why perhaps that should be so, to refute what Dr. Fisher's argument was. So again, so before we understanding why, we're just trying to understand what the what is. Let's try to identify what the what is. So one could argue that both of these aspects of Simcha that are clearly present in Yom Tov, the Rambam is explicit like this in Ilchus Yom Tov, maybe one of them is conspicuously absent in Ilchus Purim. If that would be the case, that it's absent in Ilchus Purim, then the words of the Shulchan Aruch by getting married would make a lot of sense. Why is it that you can't get married on Yom Tov? You think about it. Why can't I get married on Yom Tov? I'll go to Shul Yom Tov morning, I'll come home, I'll eat my Suda, I'll have my Basa V'yayin, I'll bench, I'll take a nap, I'll learn, and I'll get married at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What's so terrible? Why is that a problem? Why is that called Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha? How does my getting married 4 o'clock in the afternoon detract from my Simcha's Yontif? So the answer is, it doesn't detract from your Maisa Simcha's Yontif. I did my Maisa Simcha's Yontif already. But what it does is, it detracts from the day being a Yom Simcha. Not that it makes it into a miserable, not cheery day. But the essence of the Simcha has to be a Yontif Tikkun Simcha. The mitzvah of Simcha is Yontif, that second Simcha that Rambam is referring to, Chayiv Adam Liyos Samech V'Tov Lev Kol Hayom, that means you have to be filled with the Yontif Tikkun Simcha. If you are superimposing some personal celebration, some personal joy, you're thrilled because you're getting married, that's really nice. Do that after Yontif is over. Don't add your personal joy, because your personal joy is detracting from the Yontif Tikkun joy, and that's the bitl of Chayiv Adam Liyos Samech V'Tov Lev. So perhaps it's only the existence of that second halacha, that the day of Yom Tov itself is permeated as a Yom of Simcha, that is the engine that's driving the Isser of getting married on Yom Tov. If we're correct that second aspect doesn't exist on Purim it's only the Maisa Mitzvah, but there is no declaration of the day, the essence of the day. If that's the case, so then it's perfectly understandable what the Shulchan Aruch says. Therefore, you're allowed to get married on Purim. Nothing wrong getting married on Purim. I heard the Megillah in the morning, I did my Torah Sivyon, I ate my Suda at 2 o'clock, and now I'm going to my Chasa at 5 o'clock. What's the big deal? So I'll be very, very happy at 5 o'clock. What do you want from me? I finished already. If I want to go to sleep at 5 o'clock, I'll go to sleep. So if I want to sleep, I'm allowed to go to sleep and go get married. Also, getting married doesn't detract from my Suda's Purim. The only thing getting married detracts from is from the essence of the day, but there is no requirement of the essence of the day as it plays out in terms of Purim. Those Acharonim will disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. Not everybody agrees to the Shulchan Aruch. So they seem to be buying into what Dr. Fisher is saying. No, they called the Tikkun Rabbanim came there. I said Tikkun. The Chazal instituted Purim identical to Yontif. And if they instituted Purim identical to Yontif, just as Yontif is not only a Maisa Simcha, but there's the essence of the day is a Yom Sameach, the Yom Shal Simcha. The same is true when it comes to Purim. So why should the Shulchan Aruch be right? Why should we suggest? What is their ultimate response to Dr. Fisher's Taina? What's their response to those Acharonim? Why did Chazal institute Purim in such a strange way? They made it almost different from the Yontif Deraisa. So there is a famous discussion in the Acharonim about the relationship between Dinim Deraisa and Dinim Derabanan. I'll touch a little bit what Josh was mentioning, that there is a Lamda Shishayla as to just how closely related conceptually Dinim Deraisa and Dinim Derabanan. Lamasha, when it comes to Dinim Deraisa, so many Rishonim write that Yisurim Deraisa are what we call Yisuri Chefza. Yisuri Chefza meaning there's something wrong with the object itself. I have a piece of meat. That meat is chazi, the meat is nevela, the meat is treifa, the meat is basal cholov. There's something awesome in that Torah about this meat. That means there are properties about the meat itself. The meat itself has halachic spiritual properties to it that are negative, that are bad, that are awesome. When I have some food that I'm not allowed to eat with the rabbanon, such as bishalachim, because I'll say you can't eat afiyomi these days, you can't eat fish that was cooked by a non-Jew. There's nothing wrong with the fish. It's kosher fish. The problem is the non-Jew cooked it. So that's what we call an Issa Gavra. According to many Acharonim, the Mishnah Chochmah, others, the Sivis, that Yisurim Derabbanan, by definition, are Yisurim Galva. Why is that? Because only the Rabban Shalom can endow something with actual properties. Only the Rabban Shalom can change the essence of an item and say, this piece of meat, this is treif. This piece of meat, this is poison. This is spiritually poison to your neshama. The Chacham don't have the koyach to do that. The Chacham don't have the ability to do that. As great as the Rabbanim are, but that ability to almost to change the teva, to change the spiritual teva of things, that the Rabban Shalom does, that's not given off to the Chacham HaTorah. The Chacham HaTorah can tie our hand. The Chacham HaTorah can tell us not to do certain things. We'll sauce them in Adover. The Chacham told me, don't eat the Bishalacham. I can't eat it. But not because there's anything wrong with the food itself. I, as a gavra, can't eat. That same type of Vishayla as to how to view the Koyach of Chazal when it comes to Yisurim can be carried over to mitzvahs as well. When it comes to Dinim D'Araisa, so the Torah gives certain spiritual properties to things. For example, Zmanim. There's certain Zmanim on the calendar that are Mesugal, that have certain spiritual qualities to them. Yom Tov is a Zman of Simcha. Who created that quality of Simcha? The Ribbono Shel Olam. The same way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the Teva, the Ribbono Shel Olam created time, the Ribbono Shel Olam created history, the Ribbono Shel Olam created that the time of those days, from Tesvav Tishrei, the Chav Beis Tishrei, those are Dinim of Yemei Simcha. The day of Shavuos is a Yom Simcha. It's Toifes, the Etzem, the day itself. When it comes to Purim, so the Chachamim have a lot of koyach to make Dinim. They can tell you have to read the Megillah, and then they can tell you have to give Shalach Mon, they have to give Matos of Yayin. They can even tell you to have a student. They can even tell you to have Bos of Yayin. But the one thing they can't do is they can't change the Teva. They can't make the day of Yud Dalet Adar into a Yom Simcha. That is only in the domain of the Rebbein Shalom. If that's true, that there's an inability of Chazal to change the Teva to turn it into a day of Yom Simcha, then we understand perfectly well why Purim and Yontif have to part ways. They are identical in terms of the Maisa Mitzvah. That's exactly what the Rambam says. You have to have Bos of the Yayin and Yontif, and Bos of the Yayin and Purim, identical. But that's what we're talking about, the Mitzvah Sagavra. We're talking about the essence of the day, the essence of the Zman, the essence of the Chetzah from Purim, whatever you want to call it. So then, the Yontif Deraisa has a certain quality, characteristic of Yimei Simcha to it, and Purim just is lacking that. The other Echaronim who say it's not true, the Echaronim hold like Pekdash Vishu, who say that Shechonach is not correct. You can't get married on Purim the same way you can't get married on Yom Tov, seem to be assuming that Dinim D'Rabbanan can change the quality of the day. That Chazal do have the koach to create Yisurei Chafetz, which some Achronim write. Yosef Engel and others have such an idea that it is possible for Chazal to mamish endow certain characteristics, certain halachic characteristics. They can change the Teva. They can change the Zman also. So according to those other Achronim with this Rude Shulchan Aruch, Purim was instituted mamish ke'en Yom Tov. That on the 14th day of Purim, it's a different world, that the atmosphere in the world is different. It's a Yom Simcha, it's a Zman Simcha, and that Zman Simcha is toifes, the very essence of the day. It doesn't just speak to the Mitzvah Segabra. So a very, very lomdish thing. It's a very, very misnagdish way of looking at Purim. What's happening when Purim begins? So obviously the Gavra becomes chayv in a whole list of mitzvahs, but I want to know, did something change in the Yetzim day? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, no. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it's a regular day. It's a regular, next Thursday, a regular Thursday, with five different mitzvahs Hagavra. According to others, it's not a regular Thursday. It's a Yom Simcha. It's on par with a Yom Tov, Teraisa, Derabanan, whatever you want to call it, but there's something that changes the Etzem day. So this idea of the Shulchan Aruch, that one is permitted to get married on Purim because nothing really changed the day itself, this seems to be related to another question in the Rishonim about whether one should observe Avelus on Purim or not. Well, it's a person in the middle sitting Shiva, and Purim comes. So does it make sense for the person to observe Shiva on Purim or not? So l'chora, if all Purim is a list of mitzvahs to do, so why can a person be an Avelus on Purim? He's an Avel. An Avel does mitzvah. Avel puts on tefillin. Avel davens. An Oinim doesn't do this. An Avel does. The person sitting Shiva, why is it so inconceivable? The person sitting Shiva, and he's also reading the Megillah, and he's also giving Shalach Manas, and it may be a different question about giving gifts, and he's also doing Matanos of Yonim, and he's eating a Suda, and he's having Bos V'Yayin. There's nothing wrong with an Oval eating Bos V'Yayin. An Oinim can't have Bos V'Yayin, but an Oval can. So the Oval's having. He's check. He did this mitzvah, that mitzvah, the other mitzvah, all the mitzvahs. And at the same time, he's walking around without shoes on, he's walking with his Kriya shirt, he's sitting on the floor. Why is that a stira to the mitzvahs of Purim? So in Hanami, if you look at Purim only through the lens of mitzvah Sayom, so then in Hanami, you can have a Avelus in Purim, it's not a contradiction. But if you begin to believe that there's more to Purim than just a list of mitzvahs, Purim is a different kind of a day. It's a day that has qualities and characteristics of Simcha to it. So how in the world can a person be Mis'abel on a day that has characteristics of Simcha? There's a steer, there's a contradiction. The Gemara says there's no avelus on yontif. Yontif is a zman simcha. Whenever something is a zman simcha, the zman simcha automatically, the zman simcha is a mitzvah shorabim that cancels the ability for yachid to observe avelus. So the chora, based on what we're saying, we would expect that according to the Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to get married in Purim, which is tantamount to saying that there is no endowment of simchas hayoyim in Purim per se. One would expect the Shulchan Aruch to tell us that the dinim of avelus should apply on Purim. Why not? So it's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. So the fourth of the Rambam comes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol divi avelus nagi mechanical Purim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, like those who shun will say that there is avelus on Purim, which is not a great surprise. You read the Megillah, you had your bus of a yayin, and you're still sitting on the floor. What's the stira? The stira becomes in the words of the Ramah, because the Ramah quotes in the second line, the fourth in Rami Kermes, to the end of the line, V'yei sh'erim she'ein avelus no'i b'purim. Lo b'yadav lo b'tezvav. The Ramah quotes the custom from some Mishanim that there's no avelus, no matter what, both on Purim and Shushan Purim, even if it's not Purim for the you, even though you live in an unwalled city, but yadav and tezvav are times of simcha, and they have a v'chei no'yagin. And the Ramah writes, that's what the custom is. And that is the custom in Ashkenazi communities, that the Avelim don't observe Avelus on Purim. They sit on regular chairs, and they put their regular shoes back on, they take off their kriyas. They observe Dvarim Shebitzina, not all that different than Shabbos and Yontif, but in terms of outward manifestation of Avelus, there's no Avelus on Purim, which seems hard to understand, because according to what we're saying, if you're allowed to get married on Purim, which the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Ramah doesn't argue, the Ramah also holds you're allowed to get married on Purim, how could the Ramah turn around and say, you're allowed to get married on Purim, which is leading us to believe that Purim is not really a Yom Simcha, and yet the Ramah says you can't have a Avelus on Purim. What's Pshat? So there, Rav Jolti, in his Sefer Mishas Yavetz, he develops this whole theme that we're quoting about two parts of Simcha, Samar and Samarin, and he suggests the following interesting idea. He says that maybe the Isser, maybe the requirement of not having a Avelus on Purim, maybe that doesn't emanate so much from the fact that it's a Yom of Simcha. Maybe it's based on a different thing in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that on the days of Purim, so one is not allowed to fast on Purim, and you're not allowed to have hespedim on Purim. You're not allowed to have eulogies on Purim. Not allowed to fast, not allowed to have hesped and tinus always go hand in hand. So there's some Yishayim who say, Madach, you can't have a eulogy on Purim. So Kavachom, you can't have avelus proper on Purim. In other words, the Isser of avelus, the Isser of observing avelus on Purim, is not because there's a special endowment of the day as a Yom Simcha, but it's almost like a little bit of a quirk, like a little bit of an independent Isser, because observing Avelus is almost like an extension of having a Spedim. So if you can't have a Spedim, you can't have Avelus. The problem with Eshet Shabbat Torah is, that, what's the Stira? Huh? Oh, okay, so you say every other day. So what are all the other days? So all the other days are all Minhagim. All the other days are not real. Rosh Chodesh is also not Me'ikim Rekvedim. Nisa, another Roman Torah. I thought the real day you're going to ask me from is Chanukah. That's a real din. You're not allowed to have a spedim, you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah. And on Chanukah, so we find even according to the Ramah, there is a avelus on Chanukah. The truth to be told, there's one lone sheet in Rishayim that says that there's no avelus on Chanukah. And that one sheet probably is part of a Jolt Ishtikul Torah. But we don't hold that way. Nobody passes that way. Even the Ramo Paskins that there's no Avelus on Purim, he does turn around and he says that there is Avelus on Chanukah. So to commit the din of Avelus as an extension of Hespedim seems to be a little bit contradicted by the Aloch of Chanukah. So I'll tell you the truth, I'm not sure what the Pshat of the Ramo is. I'm not sure why the Ramo says what he says. That the Minhag Yisrael, the Minhag Ashkenazim is that way, that we technically speaking, we do permit getting married on Purim, and technically people don't observe Avelus on Purim, even though according to the Shtikul Torah, the Jolti is saying those two things should be totally zebizeh. And the only way out is to commit the din of Avelus to the din of Hesped, which seems to be contradicted by Chanukah. So I don't have the answer to that question. So I'll leave you something to think about until the next Purim. But a kol panim, this idea that seems to be playing out in some of these poskim, that when you evaluate, when you analyze what exactly Purim is Purim just a day of mitzvahs, or is it more than that? Is it more of a yontif type of a concept that it's endowed with simchas hayom, not all that different from yontif? That seems to be a throwback to a more global question. What exactly the Chum can and can't do? Can the Chum create changes in Zvanim? Can they create changes in Chetzis? Or can they only speak to obligations, Chivi Hagavra, but in terms of the essence of the world, the spiritual characteristics of the world, they really don't have the ability to change. So Kopanim, that may be the background behind the Shabbos. So the answer to our original question is Simchas Yontif and Simchas Purim identical? Not identical. Are they similar? Yes. Are there certain aspects of similarity? Bas or Yai? Yes. Are they different in the sense of Hilchas Aveilu? Possibly. Are they different in terms of marriage? Possibly. Are they different in terms of whether there's something that's endowed to the Yetzer Hayom? Again, depending on all the things that we spoke about.
That is not simple. But practically speaking, Aveilu is no hate. It's very hard to do the mitzvos that are supposed to be done in Purim, the simcha. That's very important. You're supposed to do the seudah of the simcha. And you couldn't do that in Avil sitting on the floor with shoes, without shoes.
But I mean, almost like simcha is almost like defining the mitzvah. I mean, what you're saying is that the mitzvahs of simcha are not just actions. Not like, I'll eat my boss and drink my yayin and be miserable. So, that opens up a whole other aspect of what simcha is in Yom Tov and Yom Purim. You know, the Chazal speak about very, very definitive categories of simcha. Boss of the yayin. But a guy doesn't like meat. A guy doesn't like yayin. He's much happier with a slice of pizza and a can of Coke. So is that simple as Yom Tov? Not. So Rav Sternberg suggests that the reason why not everybody's so machmir to have a little bit of yayin every day of Chol HaMoed, like the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch is supposed to do, so he says maybe that's based on the fact that there's not enough, we're not so excited about wine. Maybe that's a good thing, we're not so excited about wine. So Rav Sternberg says that maybe the fact those people are not machmir every single day of Chol HaMoed to drink a little bit of wine are relying on the fact that simple as Yom Tov is a little bit subjective. Well, Chazal already said that. Right. But the question is, so once that halacha kicks in, that there's a yayin, Chazal speaking about yayin, and the Rambam speaks of boss of the yayin, so is that almost like a low plug? Because every man has to be yotzei simchas Yom Tov with boss of the yayin, or those are more recommendations, those are more descriptions of what an average person likes. But if I personally like most things better, maybe that, okay, that's already a whole, there's a whole milchus and shavuos issue, but we don't get too controversial this point.
Mentioned
simcha
and no
simcha,
but karka
don't
mention
more,
right? There's no
karka. Doesn't say simcha, right, except for the Rambam. You're right. The Chazal don't speak about karka being yimei simcha, but the Rambam does. The Rambam gives us karka describes it being yimei halav al doiv yimei simcha. So I don't know. Maybe
like only been that close, but
that's also true, right? That is true, right. But
meaning we don't, this halacha is all available by night as well, right?
So that's right. Meaning, according to the Shema, unless you want to argue that no. So there's a general question. How come Avelis is canceled the first night of Yom Tov? It could be there's no simcha the first night of Yom Tov either. So that's how Shterev talks about the mitzvah simcha shebelev, and maybe that's the mafkiyah. So I don't have a lot more to talk about, but. Okay, so bottom line is next Wednesday night, there's no shiur. It's Purim night. So hopefully we'll see you in the afternoon.